Racing HQ, brought to you by Tab's new Odds and Evens. Simply pick whether the first two place getters will be odds, evens or split. Gamble responsibly.
James Howan is in England at the moment. He went to the Tattersall sale. He went to get one horse and he got him, which is good news. But the Everest is developing like you wouldn't believe. I thought we'd catch up with James this morning. How are you, James?
Yeah, good morning, Sean. Very well, thanks.
This Everest situation is hotting up. Yesterday, Chris Wallace came out and said they've elected to go with Enticing Star, the Bob Peters mare from Western Australia. 10 starts, 8 wins, very smart. You're sitting on your hands at the moment. What's happening?
Yeah, look, I think we're certainly playing a patient approach this year, and there's been obviously a lot of activity. It's a daily thing. It's great to watch and great to keep up with. But yeah, no, look, we're playing a bit of a last man standing strategy, and yeah, hopefully that plays out well for us.
Would you wait till the death knock to go with your horse?
I think there's just so many different ways to approach it, and you know, I think there's a lot of water to go under the bridge. We were probably, just in terms of timing-wise, there's obviously a lot of horses coming back now and starting to trial over the next sort of couple of weeks, and then we've got a whole host of lead-up races. So, you know, looking at the race now, we're starting to get a bit more, history on it, and looking at the last couple of years, and you can see how well a few of horses have run in the consolation race that haven't ended up getting a slot. So sort of in her time is one pure out of the other. So it shows you there's plenty of horses around and around that periphery level that haven't got into their actual main race that would have been, in my opinion, a top three chance. So look, we're quite comfortable sitting back and watching at the minute and just watching things unfold.
James, the other thing is we've always thought that time of year we'd be looking at hard or firm tracks, but we haven't had that. So that's another reason, I suppose, to sit and keep your powder dry.
Yeah, look, we were, you know, for example, going in last year with Vega Magic, and we all felt as a group very, very comfortable with that decision. And, of course, a few weeks out, the rain started coming and it didn't stop. And there was a deluge on the day, and it really just ruled that horse out completely. So it was another sort of factor. Red Dell, we had in year one, was very dynamic in that he could handle pretty much any track, and he'd proven that time and time again. So certainly a big factor, and the more time you get to look at that and watch that, the better.
James, have you got on your radar some young up-and-comers who you at the moment think they may have just slipped under the guard of some?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Sean. I do feel like you know, we have seen the same few older sprinters not be too far apart from each other the last few years. And, you know, you always have to think that there's going to be a new kid on the block or maybe a few new kids on the block. We just saw, I know it's not terribly comparable, but just to give you an example of the July Cup in England, there was 5 3-year-olds in the race, and they finished in, you know, the first 5 placings. So there always will be a changing of the guard, and these new sprinters will come through. So it certainly could be a year where an up and coming horse will really sort of take over the reins and be, you know, bringing new form and bringing that new competitiveness.
Have you spotted anything overseas that has piqued your interest?
We're watching it closely. It's probably not our first preference. Coolmore's horse was outstanding in the July Cup, and obviously they'll have him under high consideration for their slot. As just a huge lover and fan of the race, it would be very interesting to see him run in the race, because he's a very, very good horse, and he was extremely impressive there on the weekend. So he would be an interesting one, but look, it's not our first preference to do looking over there. But you know, you never say never. But look, if we can, ideally, we'll find a good domestic horse that's on the up and has got current form.
Now, were you surprised by the curved ball when the Melbourne Racing Club hopped into bed with the ATC?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. I know it was on the first year we had the gala dinner for the Everest, and Mike Simons was there, and obviously he was chairman at the time, and he was a huge supporter of it. So when I heard it, I was initially surprised, and then it sort of came back to me that he had been they'd obviously been quite keen on it from its inception. So I think it's great. Look, I think anyone that's a slot holder or anyway part of this wonderful race is just keen for it to be dynamic and be disruptive and be exciting. Another new facet to it and something to get excited about.
I thought it was interesting that the slot that Godolphin got, the Damien Flower slot, they had 23 tenders for it.
Look, I was surprised to hear that. I mean, pleasantly surprised. And I listened to the Peter Belandi's interview, and he sounded genuinely quite taken aback at how professional and thorough the proposals were. People were obviously sitting down, taking it very, very seriously to try to get their hands on that. So I thought it was super to hear, and it really just gives a lot of credence to the original slot holders and having those and holding those. They've obviously rised in value as the prize money's increased, but also the sort of, I suppose, the nature of the race.
James Harran Bloodstock spreads its tentacles wide. James, you went along to Tattersall's, the July sales, and you topped the sale. 450,000 guineas for New King. He's had 5 runs, 2 wins. He's run 3 placings. Tell us about him.
Yeah, look, he's a very nice horse, Sean. I was pretty taken aback by him. The team really loved his form. He sort of comes in, time forms a a huge indicator in Europe. It's an extremely accurate indicator of horses' form, and the ratings of over the years of horses that have come through that that European racing into Australia. He stacked up really well. Fiorente was a 114p, Rekindling 113p, Green Moon was 114p, Hartnell 114p. This horse is a 113p, and the P suggests, further improvement. So he's sort of on that front, he's slotted into that bracket beautifully. He's only had 5 starts, so he's just nicely seasoned and has lots of upside. And it was nice to physically see him myself and just have a good look at him and think, do they sort of suit Australian conditions physically? And by that, I mean, you've got to have a horse that's not going to be too hard on himself and on the harder surfaces and tracks. He was a very athletic, good-moving type of horse, seemed to have a good mind about him, and certainly everybody involved with him in Europe that I spoke to were very complimentary of the horse. He was well managed by David Redvers, and they were very complimentary of him, and there was a lot of what potential upside for him coming to Australia. So we were delighted to get him, and excited about his future for Australia.
He's had the 5 runs, all of them around the 1800, 2000 metre mark. The last run at Sandown and Ocean Murphy at the 200. He had to give him a little bit of a dig up and give him a couple of little backhanders, and then he put 8 on them.
Yeah, he was very impressive that day. I mean, he was he really pulled clear, and he's around that sort of distance mark. It'll certainly be interesting to see how far he will stretch. On paper, and just watching those few runs, I think in Australian conditions we could get up to the mile and a half, could get up to the 2400 metre mark, and obviously anything from that sort of mile to 2000, 2400, you've just got so many options in Australia and so many lucrative options. We think he's going to have a lot of races which he can develop into. At the minute, he's going to come into Australia with a sort of mid-70s rating, both Racing Victoria and Racing Newcastle have indicated that. So it gives him an opportunity to come in and probably kick off in a benchmark race first, and then we can sort of program him from there. So he can work his way through the grades and get a fairly soft entry into Australia, which is good.
Well, you look at the 450,000 guineas, his half-brother by Dabawi, I think 3 years ago, as a yearling, made 900,000.
Yeah, in terms of his price, we have sort of done some private deals over the years. I thought his price was, for what he had done and what he had shown and the potential upside, I thought it was not bad buying, to be perfectly honest. Some of them can be very, very expensive over here, and I think we've seen a sort of a slight decline in some of them being shipped over just once you get the exchange rate, etc. But I was sort of thought he was around the mark, and you know, you've got that form on the board, and you've got a horse that can come in, and of course, you know, with all these prize money increases and across the board with all these different levels of rest, with so many around that mile and a quarter level, it's you know, it really does give a horse like this an opportunity to get his money back and have a bit of fun with it.
Well, James, good luck with him. New King's his name. He's a lovely three-year-old, born April time, of course, Northern Hemisphere. But we wish you all the best, and we'll watch this space with regards to the Everest.
Thanks very much, Sean.